Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. Today I wanted to talk to you about the empathy trap in narcissistic relationships. This is something most people face when they're dealing with narcissistic people, so I thought we could talk about it on the show today. People who are unfamiliar with narcissistic relationships or abusive relationships in general often ask why people stay in them. A common answer is fear, and while that is certainly the case in some situations, it doesn't really seem to be the reason for a majority of people. The answer for most people seems to be empathy. Now that sounds weird, right? How can empathy keep you in an abusive relationship? But the truth is, most people in abusive relationships, no matter what kind they are, love the abuser. They see the other things, the things outside the abuse. They see that this person is lost, lonely, broken. They might feel this person has good intentions. They see that the abuser is often somebody who has a large amount of difficulty with life in general. The abuser might even have a mental illness, disorder, or other psychological problem that causes them enormous trouble and pain. Victims don't ignore the abuse, but they balance it against all these other things until it seems understandable or maybe even acceptable. After all, everybody feels sorry for a victim. And the truth is, most abusers either are or were a true victim at some point in time. They may have been one in their childhood, or they may be one now because they have a psychological or emotional problem. It's completely understandable and healthy to feel empathy and sympathy for people who are in that situation. However, it is not healthy to have so much empathy or sympathy for someone that you believe their well-being is more important than your own. It's not healthy to have so much empathy or sympathy for someone else's problems that you believe your own safety is less important than their feelings. This is not okay, but it is often what happens in abusive relationships of all types. Well, he hit me because he was mad. She blew up because she was stressed out. These are common rationalizations that we hear from victims of abuse. They all center around the idea that the abuser's feelings are more important than anything else, and certainly more important than the safety of other people in the home. This is nonsense. While this idea is, of course, advanced by the abuser, it's also accepted and even reinforced by the victim and the victim's own beliefs. Victims may even hand their abusers excuses in their efforts to make sense out of the abusive behavior and to make everything okay. In this situation, often the victim and the abuser work together to convince each other that the abuse was a freak thing and that this is not who the abuser really is or how the relationship actually works. Oh, what's the problem? Are you tired from working? Is that why you're acting like this? And then the abuser might say, yes, that's the problem. And now the behavior becomes acceptable every time the abuser is tired from working. The victim may offer other excuses at other times, and the abuser will certainly offer plenty of excuses of their own, along with blame for the victim, and soon, there's nothing left that's not an excuse. If they're tired, if they're hungry, if they're angry, if they're sad, if they're stressed, if they're drunk, if they're high, if they're sad, if they're jealous, if they're scared, eventually no situation exists where their behavior is not excused. If they don't have an excuse, the victim is the excuse. Oh, well, you did this and you did that and you made me act like that. While it is a common belief that abuse victims stay because they believe the abuser's promises to change, that doesn't actually seem to be true. Most abuse victims seem to know exactly what time it is. They know exactly what's going on and exactly what they're dealing with. They hope the abuser will change and they love the abuser, but they don't actually believe this person is going to change. They may have hoped that for a short period of time in the beginning of the relationship, but most people seem to realize relatively quickly that that's not going to happen. So why do they stay in the relationship anyway? Conditioning. We always hear that in intimate relationships, abusers brainwash their victims after a fashion, and there is some validity to that, but the truth is, most victims were already conditioned before they ever met their abuser. Many adult victims of abuse have been conditioned since childhood to believe that they are responsible for other people, and that their own needs, feelings, well-being, and safety are just not important. This conditioning does not just affect how someone interacts with their abuser. It affects how they interact with everybody. And even when they break away from the original conditioning environment, such as leaving the family home where there was a narcissistic parent, they still take that conditioning with them. They may unconsciously seek out relationships as an adult that will allow them to perform according to that conditioning, even though they are unhappy in those relationships. They may unconsciously look for people to take care of or to sacrifice for, even though they might feel resentful and used when they find these people. This is empathy that has turned maladaptive and dysfunctional. The key to breaking this pattern is becoming aware of it in the first place. People often ask how they can stop getting into relationship with the same type of person over and over. In order to do this, you have to figure out what the attraction is. This can be painful or confusing, but it's necessary to unravel the threads that are making up your particular relationship tapestry. What needs are being served by the relationship? Many people are quick to answer none, but the truth is that if that were actually the case, the relationship would probably not have continued. You were getting something out of it, which is why you kept doing it, and once you identify what that was, you can start learning to fulfill this need on your own in a healthy way. Many times when someone is learning to create boundaries and stop becoming entangled in abusive or toxic relationships, they can feel very guilty. This is, again, conditioning. They've been taught that they're not allowed to tell other people no. They've been taught that they don't matter and that to try to matter is wrong or selfish. They identify too closely with the pain of other people and feel guilty for abandoning them or severing the relationship. They're often vulnerable and they feel that they're being mean or cruel. This is all normal, it's understandable, and it's also not true. You do not have to sacrifice yourself to prove that you care. You do not have to solve other people's problems. You don't have to save the day. It's not healthy to base relationships or your value on these things. If someone insists that you do that, they're not looking for a healthy relationship, and you cannot have a healthy relationship with an unhealthy person. It is not possible. If you are struggling in an empathy trap, remember that it's possible to feel empathy and even sympathy for someone without accepting responsibility for the situation or the person. You don't have to do something every time. Try to focus on observing your emotions instead of reacting to them. Stop and think. Why do I want to help? Now dig a little bit deeper. Why do I really want to help? What need is this going to serve for me? Am I trying to achieve something? Am I trying to avoid something? How can I fulfill or address this without having to engage in toxic behavior or with toxic people? For example, does it make me feel needed, loved, important? How can I achieve these things without involving myself in situations that are painful? Am I perhaps trying to avoid painful feelings that will arise if I don't help? How can I deal with those feelings without having to sacrifice myself? By honestly examining your motivations here, you can unpack what's really going on and face the conditioning head on so that you can defeat it. Remember too, if you're struggling with guilt, there is a difference between abandoning somebody and escaping them. There is never any reason to feel guilty for escaping a toxic or abusive situation and never any reason to accept abuse in your life. Abusive behavior stops when you decide to stop it. You really do have the power, and I hope that you're going to use it. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, over the phone, through text message, via email, and through Messenger. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org and click the book and appointment tab to go ahead and do that. I am holding workshops about creating boundaries all the way through the end of 2019. So if you're interested in attending one of those, you can visit littleshaman.org and click the workshops tab to go ahead and sign up for that. There are limited spaces, so go ahead and jump on that quickly if you're interested in attending. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.